notes, and the Lord corrected me. This is how I initially put it in my notes. I'm asking you to please make our scheduled times together a priority. But this is what the Lord told me. He said, I want you to change that to we. It's not just me that's asking you. We're asking you to please make our scheduled times together a priority. Amen. I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you. Amen. I'm inviting you. If we understand, and boy, we've been using that word a lot, haven't we? If we recognize what it is that ultimately makes the difference in our lives, which is what? It's how we understand things, right? Our understanding. There's a verse in the Bible, I think it's the Passion Translation, and I was talking to the Lord about it this morning, and I meant to get it in my notes, so forgive me for not knowing exactly where it is, but it says this, that God reveals his truth to us according to our longing to understand it. That's kind of ties into that, the darkness of complacent satisfaction. If you're happy with the way things are in your life and you're not pressing like the Apostle Paul instructed us to do by the Holy Spirit, well, then what happens is you become blinded to what is possible, what is capable, what is available, that next level living that we talk about around here a lot. So, but the understanding, and listen, I've got some practical things, and that was what the Lord laid on Brother Donald's heart on Wednesday night, is the spiritual and the natural, the word and the practical coming together. And that's what Jesus came to do, is he came to bring those together. And so there are practical things that we can do like in a routine or a regimen or exercises, training, that will affect our understanding. But really, it's God who unlocks it. In other words, if our understanding is ever going to change, you can't change it without him. And it's a gift. See, repentance, a new condition of mind. The Bible says that God gives us the gift of repentance. See, you hear some people tell their story, you think, you know, God was like, you know, just had a cameo appearance in it or something, you know. No, you can't even call him God apart from the Holy Spirit. You alone cannot transform your understanding. It's something that only the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God working together. I mean, but what we've got to learn how to do is cooperate with them. But, you know, if you're looking for three steps to a new understanding, I can tell you things to do to cooperate with the Holy Word of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God. But only they can change the way that we see things. Only the Lord can unlock our understanding. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about the remarkable difference between Peter when he denied the Lord and then after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit and how bold he was. And I'm not taking anything away from that, but something else very significant happened in between those two events, and that is that the Lord Jesus Christ unlocked his understanding. And then, of course, he was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Again, not taking anything away from that importance, but there are a lot of men and women who are filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues every day, but still live scared. Am I right about it? I'm just be truthful about it, right? So it was at least two key experiences in his life. Again, not taking anything away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it was the resurrected Lord Jesus who unlocked his understanding. And so Again, Father gifts us with these things according to our longing to understand. Somebody who don't care anything about it, they're not ever going to see any more than they're seeing right now. Amen. See, these are the precious things. Are you following me? I'm not saying you or me, but many in the body of Christ, the precious things are material. You know, gold, silver, pearl, you know, these kinds of things. I'm not saying those aren't important, but those aren't the precious things. Father's wanting to do things in your heart and life that money can't buy. These are the treasures, the pearls of great price. Amen. And I know some people hear this and they think that I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth in the sense that I'm saying that you have to earn it. It's not about earning. It's already freely given. You can't earn what's been freely given, right? So remember, your spirit determines your potential, but your understanding governs it. And so we talk about the work of the Lord in our understanding. I know y'all have heard me say it a bunch of times. Listen to me, please. What did you do to be born? You didn't do anything to be born. You just woke up on planet Earth sometime around 3 years old. You do not have to understand the birds and the bees to be born. But if you want to be fruitful and have a family of your own, you're going to have to understand some things. And Jesus has made it so because, again, the target, the bullseye for the enemy is your understanding. That's the part he's trying to corrupt. That's the part he's trying to influence. And so Jesus, what he's done for us, think about this. It's so precious. It's so amazing. Is that he has made it so that you have to understand very, very little to get born again. You don't even have to know who the Apostle Paul is to get born again. You don't have to be able to quote the Ten Commandments to be born again. You don't even have to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament to get born again. Are you following me? Do you think that thief on the cross who said, "Remember me when you enter into paradise," do you think he understood deep biblical theology? Didn't understand any of that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's strategic on Father God's part. Because he basically took the devil's number one weapon away from him in that he made it so simple. Not only can a child do it, a child can lead adults into it. Amen. Amen. But now that we're born again, because what does Father desire? He desires for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's a lot of people who've been saved but have not yet come to the knowledge of the truth. They're still carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death. Death means separation. So they're living as outsiders when they're insiders. They're living as men who have no covenant with God, and they have the same covenant with God as any other born-again believer that's producing results in their lives. Are you following? Same covenant with God that Kenneth Copeland has, Rick Renner has, all these men and women, Billy Brim, all these men and women, they're doing all these things for God. Same. They don't have a different covenant. Are you following me now? So it's our understanding. It's our understanding. Listen, we'll take a, I know you brothers just stay where you are. Amen. We'll take up the offering at the end. How about that? I need to keep going with this. If you understand like a child, you may display flashes of adulthood, but if you understand like a child, it's impossible to live consistently as an adult. Some key words there. To live consistently. Why is this? It's because your life reality is governed by your understanding. You cannot consistently live beyond what you understand. Are you following me? Now, I know sometimes people say, well, isn't faith living beyond what you understand? No, the Bible says you understand by faith. Faith enables you to see things that you can't see with your physical eyes. But the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. He's talking about our physical sense of sight there. But you were designed in such a way as to never try and go somewhere that you can't see. And so we can be limited by what we can see with our natural eyes, or we can have those limits removed and see through the eyes of faith. And the Bible says that faith speaks. And when it speaks, what does it say? It calls things that be not as though they already are. No, as they were. I mean, it's just... The verb, you have to modify the language even to communicate it. Amen. So we our understanding is how we see things. Now, again, your born again spirit determines your potential, but is governed by your understanding. And one of the key ways to know what it means for something to govern another thing is the government applies the limits. It was the government of Hueytown that made this 5-lane road out here 40-mile-per-hour speed limit. They set the limit on that road, right? And if you go 42, you might want to be looking for blue lights. I'm just saying, okay? Word to the wise. All right? So to one of the key aspects of governing a thing is the government sets the limits. There's places in rural places, mainly out west, and there's roads, there's no speed limit. I mean, you can drive however you want. There's no limit set there. Amen. So when we say that your born-again spirit determines your potential, and we spent most of last week's time together looking at some of that potential that we have as born-again sons and daughters of God. But then you have this thing, your soul, which is your understanding. Your understanding is what governs that potential. So again, this means you can't live consistently beyond what you understand. Or said another way, how you see things sets the limits. Are you following me? I'm trying to get to a key part here, so let me... So this is the part, and we'll spend some more time on this, okay? But corrupting the understanding that governs our potential is the devil's number one strategy against the born-again believer. I know this may sound like an odd thing for me to say. I've been preaching for years to get to that statement right there. There's that. That statement captures decades of learning for me. Corrupting the understanding that governs our potential is the devil's number one strategy against the born-again believer. Now, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Devices has to do with schemes and strategies and tools and angles, things that the devil has developed to use against us. And notice what he's saying here. If we are ignorant, meaning if we don't understand, if we have no idea of how the devil operates and what he's ultimately trying to accomplish, it puts you and me at a disadvantage. But if we understand, and that's the key thing here, if you can see what the devil's trying to do, so we spent 2 weeks ago, we talked about resistance, right? That's, the devil is always trying to use resistance to move us in directions and down pathways other than the direction and the pathway that God has for us. Am I right about it? He's betting that you'll take the path of least resistance, right? And remember, I told you this last week too. He rolls the dice every time he does it. Because if you press against the resistance, all he's going to succeed in doing is making you stronger and harder to deal with the next time. But because it works so successfully with people. Do you realize how many people made up their mind Tuesday they weren't coming to church today, whether it snowed or not? Like, well, you know, I'm just going to make some chili. We've got some football games coming on. What if the weather moves? Well, we're still going to be snowed in because we want to be. Again, it's just, amen, it's just a thought, you know, it's an idea, a plan. Now, it's like we envision ourselves all cozy, cuddled up in our house, you know, snow gently falling outside and chili, you know. You don't see that part where the power's out and your pilot light won't work on your gas logs and you ain't got no way to cook anything or go get some food. But anyway, it's how we vision it in our minds, right? So this is the strategy. And if we're ignorant of this, if we can't see this, so corrupting mankind's understanding. And this is the part I want to try to get to this morning, the few minutes we got left. Corrupting mankind's understanding has always been the devil's number one strategy. It's always been his go-to, right? Thank you, Holy Spirit. I got to talk about the snow and all that stuff. So resistance. If we're ignorant of it, then it makes it easier for the devil to use it against us. But if our eyes are open to it, right? If we realize, let's say that you've said in your heart, one of the things for a new year this year is you're going to get up, 15 minutes early and read your Bible and pray before you head out the door. That'd be something good, right? Because remember, we need resolutions that will produce a renewed understanding, and that would be a good one to help renew our understanding, okay? But then all of a sudden the alarm goes off, and that snooze button, they need to put on there a resistance button. It's a resistance button, right? Now all of a sudden that 15 minutes of sleep seems like the most precious thing. You know, I think it's like, why would I want to do myself this way? I mean, even if I could get back to sleep in 15 minutes, it's going to wake me up again. But see, again, once the devil's exposed, I say it this way in counseling and ministering to people, your eyes being open to it is more than half the battle. Because if you're ignorant of the devil's devices, he just keeps on busting your chops and keeps on keeping you defeated, right? And we don't even know how he's doing or what he's doing to us. But now we realize, okay, this is what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to keep me away from the pathway that I need to go down. And so he's trying to make that seem hard and difficult and the last place I will want to be. And I don't have time for that. Do you have any idea how busy my life is? Do you have any idea how early I have to get up on Thursday mornings? Do you have any, are you following what I'm saying? It's all these things that the devil uses, right? Now we recognize them for what they are. They're nothing more than resistance, because the devil's betting I'm going to be a lily-livered coward and avoid resistance and take the path of least resistance because I need 15 minutes more sleep, bless God. Amen? Amen. So this has always been that corrupting our understanding, because, and think about it, what does that say about how powerful our understanding is when that's really the thing the devil goes after the most? I don't have time to get into it right now. But when Jesus taught us about planting the Word of God in the soil of our hearts, and he said the birds, it's like a bird coming and getting a seed, right? When he explained the parable, what did he say? He said that Satan comes immediately to steal the Word. And anybody remember what makes it easy for him to steal it? They don't understand it. The devil steals the Word of God from people that don't understand it. This is why I never apologize for being repetitive. I'm not trying to see how many different subjects I can cover in 52 Sundays with you. Are you following me? Our target is not broad swath of knowledge, 3 inches deep. But for the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God to change our understanding and thereby affect change in our life reality. And that we, like we talked about last week, that now we're actually doing the good works that glorify our Father in heaven. And all the contentment and satisfaction and meaningfulness that we experience and enjoy in life because of that. This may not surprise you, but not every participant who comes to the Foundry is there for God, Jesus, and the Bible. And I even say those exact words to them. I said, listen, you may not be here for me. You may not have come for what I'm here to tell you, but let me tell you what you are here for. You're here for answers that you couldn't find yourself. And you're looking for a life that makes sense. You're looking for a meaningful life. There can be no meaning without context. Context is everything you need to know to make sense of something. Also known as your understanding, how you see things. And so the enemy targets our understanding because he knows that if he can get us seeing things in a way that are not that's not accurate, that's not as it truly is, he can use that to as an advantage over us and have a field day in our lives. But if we can see this now, if we'll let the Lord open our eyes to what the devil's trying to do, what he's trying to keep us from hearing, what he's trying to keep us from knowing, what he's trying to keep us from doing, how he's trying to keep us from living, the things that God has for us to experience on levels that go beyond what you can imagine. Goodness beyond what you have the ability to imagine is what God has put in you and me. And that's what the devil's trying to keep you away from. How is he trying to keep you away from it? By manipulating and corrupting your understanding. So he knows as long as he can corrupt your understanding, he's going to keep you from ever fulfilling your purpose and destiny in Father's kingdom and experiencing and enjoying all that belongs to you, all your rights and privileges as a son or daughter of God. If we don't do anything this morning but this, I hope you're seeing resistance. I hope when resistance starts, because devil's sneaky now. He'll present it all kinds of different ways to you. He'll use the word of God to bring resistance to you. We've got to recognize it. Got to recognize it. We've got to push back against it. The way forward is through resistance. The way forward is through the resistance. The way forward is through the resistance. Okay? Yes? I'm going after this because of what the Lord spoke to my heart, right? All discipleship takes place within the context of fellowship. Amen. It takes place within the context of fellowship. That's why he said, do not forsake the assembling yourselves together. You see these bozos on the internet, words that say in the Bible you should go to church. Dude, get off the internet. You ain't got enough sense to know which door to go in or out of sitting here. I mean, how many verses you want, man? It's just, you know, it's like, anyway, gets me so irritated. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So again, this between you and God, you know I'm going to love you. I'll preach your funeral if you never come back to this church a day in your life. 40 years from now, it's your family calling me, hey, he went to your church back in the early 2000s. Would you? Yes, I'll come preach. I'm going to love you. I'll preach you right on into heaven in your funeral if you never come back to this church again. But here's the question I want you to ask yourself and the Lord. What is the resistance that's keeping you from being here on Wednesday night? What's the excuse? What's the mindset? What's the attitude? Are you following me? I had a man tell me he had to drive about on a Sunday morning. It was a little less than 30 minutes. He goes, man, you know, I just wish Heritage was closer to my house. This man drives 45 minutes to work every day of the week. I'm like, but see this, the darkness of complacent satisfaction, a brilliant man who runs a division of a multi-billion-dollar operation. And yet he couldn't see what or hear what he just said to me. He drives sometimes 6 days a week, 45 minutes to work. But man, it's just so far on Sunday mornings, you know. It's like you just want to just shake him, you know. But see, again, I'm not. Why am I want to shake him? Because I'm trying to make myself feel better because this church is full. No, because his marriage is hanging by a thread. His children are getting into stuff. Are you following what I'm saying? Because that man needs to hear the ways of God. and recognize how the devil's corrupting his understanding. And that's what's causing the output. That's what's from the heart spring forth the issues. That's what's creating all these issues in his life. And the Word of God can change it. Are you following me? This room's full of witnesses of people that you've gotten a hold of the Word of God here at Heritage. And it's changed your life. It's changed your marriage. It's changed your family. It's changed your finances. It's changed your children. And it's continuing to do so. Better and better and better. If the devil's number one target is corrupting the understanding, then the whole point of discipleship, the work of the Holy Word of God, Jesus Himself, the work of the Holy Spirit, right, in our lives, is to get the wrong understanding out of us, dig out the old, put in the new. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you think I'm beating you up about Wednesday night, I'm not. I'm not going to judge you if you're not here on Wednesday night. So be getting all mad at me because I'm getting up in your business. But I warned you that we're going to get very practical in 2025. It's not going to be another year at Heritage. It's going to be a new year. Amen? So ask the question. So why is it that you don't at least read a chapter in the Bible a day? Please don't like sit there with your phone doing this saying you don't have time. Amen. Are you following me? Ask yourself, would that be a good resolution for 2026? Well, if we're looking at resolutions that'll help us with our understanding, then yeah. Because His Word is understanding. His Word is truth. The entrance of His Word gives light. So it won't take but just a few minutes. But ask yourself, why does it seem so hard? Well, you know, Pastor, I just don't understand it. Okay, so not understanding it is the reason to not read the book that will give you understanding. I don't make no sense. Oh, sweet Jesus. You still with me? So, Satan knows that influencing your understanding is the greatest way to influence and then even ultimately control your life. I don't know if I got time for this, but I'll at least try to get started. Enticing Adam and Eve to sin by eating the fruit God told them not to touch was not the devil's primary objective. Should be a apostrophe yes there, but I missed that. Amen. But you got the point. He wasn't just going, I knew I could get them to do it. I knew I could. That was not. He wasn't just trying to get them to eat that fruit so he could prove to himself and all his hordes of demons that he could do that. That was not his primary objective. Getting them to sin was a means to a greater end. Because according to Ephesians 4:18 and other places in the Bible, sin darkens the understanding. Now, perhaps we'll go through all these verses next week. But let's go here. Then the serpent said to the woman, "You'll not surely die. God knows that in the day you eat of it." Anybody remember these words? "Your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like God, knowing." That word "knowing" there means perceiving, seeing. Your eyes will be open and you will see good and evil. Do you realize they couldn't see evil before they ate that fruit? They could only see good. They could only see God. They were only aware of good. They were only aware of God. Now see, we hear that in our world today and we go, man, thank God. God, they ate that fruit so they could see what was a threat to them. It was no threat to them. The devil couldn't do a thing to hurt them. The devil couldn't, are you following me? He couldn't touch them. He couldn't mess up their lives. He couldn't mess up the Garden of Eden. He could not do a single thing unless he could corrupt their understanding. Couldn't touch them. Couldn't touch them. So the woman saw. that the tree was good for food. She's seeing it in a different light now. If the light that is in you be darkness, how great is the darkness? She's not seeing this in the light of truth. She's seeing it in the light of a lie. She's seeing it in the light of deception. What she understands about it has been corrupted. Are you seeing this? How she sees the fruit has been altered, not by God, by the lies of the devil. Now she sees the fruit in a different light. It's not the light from God. She sees it in a different way. Let's say it like that. Amen. Am I boring you? Are y'all okay? Just hang in. Amen. 11:52. We're fixing to pray and take up the offering. Amen. When she saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, darkness will make destructive things look desirable. Darkness will make death seem appealing. But again, the devil hides it. He doesn't say, here's death. You want some? No. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Verse 11, this same passage, God the Father says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? What's the point? There's a bunch of them here. There's a bunch of them here, but what's the point? The point is that Satan had corrupted their understanding. This was what it was all about. When he tempts us to sin, it's not just for the face value of the sin. It's how he uses the sin to reinforce his corruption in our understanding. And let me prove it to you. You can be tempted to sin and not give in to the temptation. The devil doesn't care. He will still use the fact that you were tempted against you if you let him. He will say things to you like, if you really were changed, you wouldn't even think about that stuff anymore. If you really were all that in a bag of chips as a Christian, you wouldn't even think about or have desires for those things anymore. You follow what I'm saying? He will try to put shame and guilt on you for being tempted when you should be rejoicing and celebrating that you pressed against the temptation and overcame. Stand with me. Are you following this? This is the piece I want you to see this morning. Again, see, understand, to the point that you can begin to recognize it in your own life. This is how the enemy is working against us. Come on, I want to sing, Healed, Renewed My Mind again. Amen. Can we all sing that together when we receive the offering? Can you sing and give at the same time? I bet you can. Amen. But are you following what I'm saying here? To recognize that When the devil manipulates you, and let's say you lose your temper and you say things to another human being that you shouldn't say, talk to them in a hurtful, harmful, demeaning, downgrading way, okay? All right? Now, notice, see, the devil has a field day with that, because it's not just what he can use those words to make somebody else think about themselves, corrupt their understanding. Then it's like how guilty you feel, embarrassed you feel. Then you try to start justifying, well, they deserved it. They had it coming. They shouldn't have cut me off in traffic. See, again, notice now, all this again, the devil just, he wasn't just wanting you to say those hurtful words. That was not his end game. He had something bigger in mind. Amen. And that was the ongoing corruption of your understanding. Corrupted files will not produce accurate results, right? Y'all with me? Amen. All right, Father, I thank you for this time this morning of giving. I thank you for this time of receiving. And Lord, I pray that we've received your word, that our eyes are being opened. Holy Spirit, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. That's the prayer that Paul prayed over and over and over and over again. Father, only you know how many thousands of times he prayed that prayer over your people, over your children, that they would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, and that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of their calling, what are the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power directed towards our lives, Father. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that seated Jesus far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that's named both in this age and the age that is to come. And Father, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that you've given Jesus to be head over the church because we are his body. And as his body, we are the fullness of him who fills all in this earth. Oh, Father, that we would see it, that our eyes would be open to it, that it would alter, Father, the way that we respond to people and to you and to situations and even to devils and demons. Father, that we would recognize the strategies of the enemy, that we would not be ignorant of what he's trying to do and why he's trying to do it, what he's trying to accomplish in our lives. Oh, Father, help us see it. Help us see it, Lord. Help us see what we're not seeing right now that we need to see. And help us, Father, forget things that our eyes have been open to. Father, the world says, you know, you can't unsee that. We see some horrific thing, some tragedy, some blood and gore. And boy, the enemy loves for us to invite that stuff into our lives through movies and horror films and all this other stuff. And then the world says you can't unsee it. Well, Father, we can't unsee it without you. But you can purge our very consciousness, Lord, of these things. And that's the work, Father, that we desire. That's the level of decontamination, Father, and cleansing that we desire in our understanding. We pray these things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. They're going to pass the offering baskets and you give as unto the Lord this morning. But could we sing this again before we're dismissed? And if you'd like prayer this